want to greet everyone in Jesus' name and in love for you guys, because we're a family, special people called out from this dark world into God's marvelous light. You know, as we're in the season of the holy days, the world has their own thinking that they are approved by God. So I face a lot of opposition and backlash when I post, you know, Sabbath greetings and all that good stuff that we have. But what we have and what we've been called to is something that's very serious. It's no joke. This life in Jesus Christ, it's not a joke. Serious. What God expects and what he's looking for is genuine. We have to be genuine. So I'm going to be speaking to you. Will probably be the biggest and the most wonderful and incredible sermon that you will ever hear or that has been ever spoken. Not because I'm giving it, but because it was Jesus who gave it. I'll be speaking about the Beatitudes or an overview, and title of the sermon is A Blessed Life. And it's in Matthew 5. We'll be there for you know, the whole, most of the time as I speak. But I want to greet the people that might be watching on the webcast. I know Betty and Julie are watching, and my regards to you guys. I hope you have a great Sabbath. Matthew 5:1. The title of the sermon again is A Blessed Life. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, that's verse 1, he went up on a mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. The Beatitudes, the marvelous statements of Jesus Christ about a blessed life, a life that's blessed by God. And they are found in Matthew 5, as we just read. These are a compelling series of statements spoken by Jesus in his longest sermon about a life that is blessed by God. And I usually, I'm going to step aside a little bit. I usually warn you guys about I had a stroke a few years ago, and there are certain phrases and words that I kind of trip on because of that. And on top of that, to add insult to the injury, I be speaking with a New York Rican accent. So that's why I need to speak a little slow so you can understand what I'm saying. I don't want to lose you, you know. Now, Jesus spoke to his disciples about a life that is blessed by God. And you know, who wouldn't want to roll a chair and sit there and listen to Jesus speak about this? Because we all want to be blessed. You know, we want to be blessed in this life, in death, and for all eternity. That's what we want. Everybody wants that. And this is precisely what Jesus is talking about here in this sermon. The opposite of being blessed is being cursed. No one wants that. But here is the Son of God himself speaking about a life that is blessed. And he's speaking about people who are blessed. So as I got into these Beatitudes, I wanted to be sure that he was speaking about me. I was, you know, wondering, am I those people that Jesus is saying that are blessed by God? Because just because we come here does not tell everything. This is the life that I really want to pursue, that Jesus says that is under the blessing of God. That's what's important to me. So the Beatitudes not only describe a life that is blessed by God, but he gives us the means by which to pursue this life. They give us a way to progress in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And this is kind of like a grid on how to pursue and to grow. This is how we grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Like this, he's describing it in this sermon. Because actually, they are his heart. What Jesus did to the disciples when he called them over on the mount, he was spilling his heart to the disciples. He's saying, this is my heart. This is how I am. It's not an easy task to obtain that type of heart. So when we engage in these Beatitudes, we not only find them compelling, but we'll find them searching. Very searching, because Jesus describes a person who is blessed by God. To be blessed by God, you have to walk the straight and narrow. Be genuine. So this forces the question. Is he describing me? Am I that person that he's talking about that is blessed? Because really what matters is not that we go around confessing that we're blessed, or go around proudly saying, I belong to the true church of God. Because we do. And it's okay to do that. But that's not all. What really matters is whether God pronounces us to be blessed. That's what matters. If he, you know, says that you're blessed and you're part of his church. Another thing that this Beatitudes leads us into is into worship. Because there is total integrity in the Son of God. Because here we have a preacher who practices what he preaches. And he practices what he preaches in every respect and to every degree. He is what he says and says what he is. That's the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we meditate, we'll find that they lead us to worship. Because this happens when we glimpse at the glory of the Son of God. This is sort of like an overview that I'm telling you about this powerful sermon that Jesus preached. That's why I said it would be the greatest sermon you will ever hear, or anyone has ever heard, because that's what he's looking for. See, not because I'm giving it. So there is a way that we can use the Beatitudes to grow and use it as a tool. That's what I found as I was doing this, a couple of ways that we can get to that point. But I like the one as we can use as a tool for discernment. Discernment for searching. Some of you might know about bird spotting. I don't. But I was reading up on it. And people take binoculars, you know, people take time out of their schedules to do these things because that's their hobby. Like I take time out of my life to play guitar because I love it. These people do that. They go out. So imagine you being a bird spotter. You get binoculars, you go out in the country, look up a tree, and you see an American goldfinch. I never knew what that was. But when I was reading up on it, I saw it. But how do you know it's an American goldfinch? Because of its distinctive color, yellow. That's how you can tell. Or you're going by the river and you see a sandpiper. I never knew about that either. But it's got some distinguishing spots. That's how you can tell. So my point about this is that birds are distinguished by the distinct marks. That is how you can tell them from another. So the question becomes, what are the distinguishing marks of a Christian? How would you know a Christian if you spotted one? How do I know I am a Christian if I spotted myself? Am I a true Christian? Or am I merely self-deceived, thinking that I am a Christian, a true Christian? Is it by what I believe? Well, that's a good answer, but it's not sufficient. It doesn't matter what I believe. What matters is how Jesus defines me. Remember this, my brethren, Satan and the devils know God, know him very well. You know why? He was there in heaven with God. He was kicked out of heaven. So when you get kicked as hard as he did, and the Bible says he came down as lightning, that was a big time hard kick. You know, I remember when I used to box, I used to get hit hard at times, but I never went probably a foot back. This guy did, like lightning. Satan knows that the Sabbath is God's holy day, and we are to rest on that day. The demons know that too. Yet, he will confuse the whole world into keeping a counterfeit Sabbath. So what a person believes is not necessarily a mark of a Christian, or it is a mark of a Christian, but it's not a sufficient mark. So how would you know a Christian if you saw one? By what they believe? No, it has to be more. You can tell a true Christian by what they do and how they speak. Romans 2:13 says, not only the hearers of the law are justified, but the doers of the law are justified. You have to do it. You have to walk the walk. You not only talk the talk, you don't talk the Christian lingo, walk it. Jesus said that the one who hears my words and puts them into practice, this is a person that built his house upon a rock. And Jesus is the rock. Jesus himself was the one that said, in the last day, there will be people coming to me and say, but God, didn't I preach in your name? Didn't I do miracles in your name? I mean, heal the sick in your name? That's not going to be good enough. I go, God, but don't you remember? You know, I did special music at services quite a bit in Ocala. And I used to go to other places and do special music. Oh, I did special music in the feast. That's not what he's looking for. It's good and everything, but that's not what impresses him. The blessing do not lie in the position. You could be a deacon, elder, minister, a big time speaker that everybody wants to listen to, that you can speak pretty, eloquently. That's not what he's looking for. We are not going to impress God with anything that we do. He appreciates it, but I'm not going to impress him. He's a better speaker than any one of us is. What he's looking for is right in front of you, Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. When Jesus got the disciples together, he didn't begin by saying, okay, guys, what I'm going to do with you now, I'm going to teach you how to be ministers. I'm going to teach you how to speak eloquently so that the people can see you. I'm going to teach you how to be a deacon or an elder. Nope. He began by saying, let's get this down pat. You will be blessed if you do these things. He didn't say, I'm going to get you involved in ministry. He begins by saying, let me tell you about a person that is blessed by God. Let me tell you what he looks like. All these things are to be pursued by us. Am I pursuing that? Are you pursuing that? Or are you satisfied with just coming to services? That's good. Coming to services every Sabbath, keeping the holy days, watching what you eat. That's all good. But anybody can do that. You know, you can fool me, but can't fool God. So what are the evidence of these marks in our life? Let's open our hearts to the searching gaze of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do some research. So let's begin We're still in chapter 5, verse 9. So we're going to go a little backwards, okay? The peacemakers. Do I bring peace? Or am I an instigator? Always looking to start trouble, you know? Or causing people to argue with each other. Does peace follow me? That's the question here. How about verse 8? The pure in heart. What's the condition of my heart? Is it marked by purity? Do I try to be right and fair with people? How about verse 7? Merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Do I forgive quickly, or do you hold a grudge forever? Sometimes when you get hurt, it's not easy to get over. That's like a puncture wound, knife wound. It hurts for a long time. I never been stabbed, but I know. I've stabbed myself just a little bit with something. It hurts. But getting stabbed with a knife, that will be there for a while. Do you forgive an offense quickly? It takes character to do that. How about verse 6? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I tell you, I come to services and I love it. I can sit here for 2 hours, I guess we're here. But after services, I am hungry. And a couple of my friends here know that. And they always, hey, let's go over there and eat. Let's eat. And I want to eat. But am I that way for righteousness? Do I hunger for God the same way I do when I'm hungry? Does this describe you? Does it describe me? Do I hunger for God that way? This is how I pursue a life of righteousness, regardless of the cost. Speaking the truth, regardless of the consequences. Are you a truth speaker that tells the truth regardless of the consequences? You know, when we speak the truth, we don't do it to hurt people or to attack. But the truth, there's a saying that goes, the truth hurts. And it does. When someone tells you the truth, it hurts you because it goes against the grain of what you believe. And people don't like that. But we have to speak the truth because that's for their benefit. When Jesus describes a person who is blessed, is he describing you? So let's ask ourselves someone to spot these marks in me. Am I consciously submitting myself to the will of God, regardless of the cost? This is what is meant by meekness, increasingly being upset by what you used to be before you came to the truth and you accepted God's call. I constantly think about, what was I thinking then? How could I be so, this is what I tell myself. I'm not saying anybody else, but how could I have been so dumb? I mean, it was right there in the Bible. I went to a theology school for 2 years. In there, day and night studying the word, I didn't pick up a thing. The only thing I learned was that I became independent. I was only 16 years old when I went in for 2 years, and I was away from home. I cried the first day, I think it was, because I was homesick. But then I met buddies there that play guitar, and I said, oh, you know, I think so. And then I became a little more independent. So the Beatitudes are raising a question, or some questions for us. Am I remaining pretty much the same? Am I committing the same habitual sin? Or am I changing? That's what the Beatitudes are doing when you read them and you study them and you apply them. This is why I'm saying that they are searching. Because it really cuts through the shallowness of talk, of cheap talk. You know, people talk about what they are, what they do, how much they know about the Bible. So what? How much of it are you doing? That's what matters. Now, here's Jesus speaking about the reality of a godly life. and what it means to pursue it. I want to pause here a little bit and say that the Beatitudes are not teaching you how to be a Christian. That's not what the Beatitudes are doing. What they're doing is describing what a genuine Christian is, not how you become that. They're telling you, Jesus is saying, this is what a true Christian is. That's what I'm looking for. You could have been in the church 50, 60 years. Doesn't matter to God. He's looking for those marks. You know? He's looking for the genuine. I love guitar, you know. And I buy guitars. And when I go to the store to buy a guitar, I don't look at the shining of how shiny it is. Oh, how pretty it looks. I pull the guitar out because every time I go to a music store, the first place I go to, boom, the guitar room. And I try guitars, see pretty guitars, and I've seen beautiful guitars, and I play them, they hurt my fingers. They don't sound right. There's no resonance, no clarity. What I look for is a genuine guitar that gives me resonance, that sounds strong, that sounds clear. And when I run my fingers down the fretboard, it doesn't hurt me. Because some guitars that are cheap, you run your finger down and you get stuck in one of the frets. And there you go, off for a couple of days with a messed up finger. That's what guitar playing is all about. This is why we need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, I believe Stanley read that at Passover, tells us to test yourselves. We need to examine ourselves, test yourself to see the evidence of genuine Christianity in you. Are you genuine? You can check yourself. When that happens, then the evidence of you being a genuine Christian will be seen. What Jesus is doing is inviting us to measure ourselves. There are distinguishable marks of a genuine Christian. There are marks of the person who is blessed as opposed to a person that is self-deceived. You can be in the church and be a Christian and do the things that a Christian do and be self-deceived. And there are the marks of a true Christian. They are very clear in the sermon on the Beatitudes. And they are very clear. Blessed are the poor in spirit, verse 3. For theirs is the kingdom of the pure in heart, or poor in spirit. Verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn, because they will be comforted. You mourn because you were a sinner, because of your past life. You hated that. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Are you meek? Am I meek? Or am I competitive? Always want to be better than the other guy. If the other guy jumps high, you want to jump higher. If the other guy speaks well, you want to pass him. If the other guy plays good guitar, I want to be better than that. How can you play guitar better than me? Can't be. Not that's the way. A true professional praises anyone that plays the instrument. That's what a true professional is. I learned that early in my life, because when I started playing guitar, I think it was one chord and it wasn't clear. And I already thought I knew how to play guitar. And I was already bragging about it. And I remember one time my brother told me, Nefty, come here. When people ask you if you play guitar, just say, well, I'm learning. Don't promote yourself that way. Just say you're learning. You know, that stuck with me for life. You know? And I still say that because the truth is, I don't. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. When you thirst for the truth and for righteousness, God will fill you with it. You'll become humble rather than, hyped up yourself. Blessed are the merciful. They will obtain mercy. This is stuff that takes strength of character to be. It's difficult to be, you know, merciful when someone hurts you. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. That's purity. Every time we go and get things, we want to purchase something, you want to get the pure thing. I want to get a pure guitar that sounds like a professional guitar. That guitar makes me sound better than what I play. That's the guitar I want to buy. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. Those are all marks of the true Christian that Jesus is talking about. Those are the marks that need to be seen in us. You know, many times I speak to people, when I try to bring them the truth, they say, I'm not going there. I see too many Christians that are a bunch of hypocrites. They steal, they do things, evil things to other people. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to be a Christian. That's sad. But true Christians are identified by their actions and by their righteous ways. Another one, verse 10. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's the kicker right there. That is a true person that is a genuine Christian. That's his reward in this life. You will be persecuted. You will be hated. Isn't that a beautiful thing? After you accomplish and get those marks, then you're going to be persecuted. That's it. Isn't it? Sometimes from the people in the church. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. After all this, you will be hated, persecuted, accused, spoken evil of, mocked, misrepresented, misinterpreted, and cast out from your own family. I am a witness to that, a victim of that. They consider me a nut. I'm in a cult. I remember I was at a friend's house. We were having a couple of drinks. I was having some wine. His wife was having a few drinks. And she says, you know, when a person gets a little drunk, they say the truth. So she said the truth. She said, you know, Lefty, you're in a cult. You know, that's what she thought about me. She never told me that when she was sober. But she was drunk. And I said, I found out. But I answered her. I said, yeah, I'm in the same cult that Jesus Christ and the disciples and the prophets were. That's my cult. So we can use the Beatitudes as a measuring tool for discerning our own spiritual state. And what might happen, that we may find that we're not so much the true Christian that we thought we were. But now that you've discovered this, then you will want to be a true Christian. And that's a good thing. If that happens, my friend, that's a very good thing. Because we don't want to see God and tell him what we did as a Christian. And most of these people that God said, depart from me, I never knew you. These people were ministers. Because a bunch of them said, didn't we perform miracles in your name? Didn't we do this and that? It was he who said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When this happens and you discover that you're really not a true Christian, that's good because you found it just in time. Then you can become a true Christian. Because only when you find that you're not a genuine Christian that you'll be in the position to be one. One of Satan's main and more effective ways of keeping people from God's kingdom is making them think that they're true Christians. That they are genuine, but they are not. That's his main tool. Deceiving you into thinking that you are a true Christian. So let's use the Beatitudes, my friends, as a tool for discernment. And determine for ourselves whether we are genuine or fake. Happy Sabbath.